Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello everyone and welcome to Heart and Hand, the Rangers podcast. My name is David Edgar. As always, I am your host. I'm delighted this week to be joined by crowd favourite, crowd pleaser, Andy McGowan, the Sage of Saltcoats himself. Andrew, how are we?
I'm fine. I'm trying not to bust out laughing at crowd favourite, crowd pleaser. You ever seen my DMs on Twitter?
No, nor do I plan to slide into them. And if that was an invite, thank you. But I'm perfectly happy with my current partner. But I know, but people who listen to you like you. And I mean, and in the end, that's the main thing.
It is. And I thank every one of them. Mostly my family, but I thank everyone.
All comes to the same in the end. Right, let's get stuck in. Rangers welcomed Kilmarnock yesterday to Ibrox. And first things first, Andy, when I was going up to the ground, I'll admit to being one of these people, I didn't really feel a palpable sense of anticipation. And then I thought, well, I don't have one either. And I don't know quite if that is due to recent results, recent performances or whatever. But going in yesterday, there wasn't really, I think, a huge amount of belief that the team would deliver, or if they did deliver, that they would deliver at Parkhead. Is that maybe something that I've dreamed up based on my own feelings, or is it something that was noticeable, I thought, early doors yesterday?
No, I think you've got something there, because, I mean, I've commented on this, you know, notion that you need to have belief before anything happens, and I just didn't feel it. I mean, you get a sense, nowadays you get a sense because of social media, there's no battle fever, if you want to use that parlance. It's, I think that the Ross County and Dundee games have skewered a few belief systems amongst your support, and it's a problem because the club, you know, Clermont and the players in the press conference know that I really want them to be doing it, but they've not exactly been effervescent in terms of what they could potentially be on the cusp of, which, let's be frank, is a treble, right? It's still there to be had. And it hasn't felt like that, Davey. Considering where we were this season, the points this year, to where we are now, it's us that should be feeling a wee bit bullish, despite the fact that we're up against it in the last four games as before yesterday. So, no, I think you're right. I did think the crowd were good yesterday from the kickoff, and the goal... The goal tested us once again, but I thought the game started. You had a big tackle for Lindstrom in the first couple of seconds, and maybe it's because I was close at the Union Bears yesterday, but I felt like the atmosphere was pretty good once it started. But certainly in and around the ground and the week leading up to it, I'm not speaking to folk that are clenched fists, gritted teeth, and saying let's get into it. It's no feeling like that, and it's strange, to be honest.
Yeah, but as I say, I know my feeling on it is hope, but maybe not out and out belief mm-hmm. that it's going to happen. But
are we jaundiced? Is that what it is? We're so realistic now to the point where this, pragmatism is trumping passion.
This is kind of why I think that they do need to move on some players in the summer, because I think that it's the feeling of, well, we know what they've done before, and sometimes you need a bit of a fresh start. And we have a manager, I think most people believe in and understand the circumstances he's got on. So that's one thing. And then, you know, if you can get a bit of a fresh start with new players or whatever. But yeah, in the ideal world, you go out and sign 10 complete world-class players. Those days long gone, if they ever existed. So I think we need to be realistic. But you're right, Rangers went into the game yesterday, and I thought started the game very brightly, the opening 10 minutes, aggressive, forward-thinking, pressing the ball. And after conceding another really poor goal to give away, I did think the crowd stayed with, especially after the penalty miss that we'll get to, when it would have been easy for it to turn completely toxic. I don't think the crowd did. Do think the goal on the stroke of half-time really helped that, because I think that it basically saved a kind of angry reaction at half-time. But they did get it, and that was all that matters. But yeah, let's look at the match itself. And as I say, bright start. You commented on it as well. The manager commented on it. I was at the game with Martin, and even he commented on it. So I think that it was kind of what we wanted to see from Rangers, but then let down. And look, it's happened too often. I was going to say it's happened so often. It's happened too often where we're just not set for the first opposition attack. And on this goal, I think Barisic can do a bit better. I think Butland can come and claim the cross. I think Tav needs to be aware that if the keeper isn't coming, he needs to deal with it. And of course, then there's a bit of bad luck because it cannons off Tav's hand and goes into the net. Although, to be honest, I think it would have been a penalty otherwise. It's frustrating because to me it's like, lads, set for this. It's happened often enough that you should be thinking in the back of your mind, see, first 10 minutes defensively, I'm going to be absolutely switched on here.
It's a freak goal, but it's a freak goal as in Tavernier's against Eldridge, it's a freak goal, and you know, umpteen others that have kind of left his wide mouthed have been classed as free. It happens too often, and you kind of broke it down there. There was three instances of three minuscule misjudgments that cost the goal. I think Butland's at fault for this, because Barisic could have done better, but if you watch that game, Butland kind of starts to come out then, doesn't he? And then he finds himself in front of his post as opposed to right against his post, closing the kind of gap.
Well, that is interesting, and I think that is a common thing that happens when goalkeepers have don't less trust in their centre-halves. Because earlier in the season, he was coming out and claiming everything. But I think that a natural instinct for goalkeepers when they're not quite as sure of their centre-halves is to, I'll just stay in my line, you know, just for security in case they get a shot away, because I know, you know, I'm confident that I'll deal with that. I agree. At the time, I thought, could he have came for that? And then when I saw that, I was like, he could have come for that. He should have come for that. Because he would have been unchallenged. The boy wasn't going to get challenged on him.
And then ultimately, he's way beyond his front post. And that causes the, you know, I think Tavernier's actually unlucky, because it comes at an awkward height. It's, you know, him, the ball's between him and the goal. Very, very few touches. If he can get his leg or his knee up to it, it's going to be a risk on goal. So, but the point is, Dave, as you say, concentration, stopping the first ball. It's a simple ball to the back post, and here we put ourselves in the back foot once again, and it's the likes of that, you know, Celtic games are the ones that's cost us. So losing the first goal, and we need to eradicate it. There is the game as a test because of that.
Yeah, I think it's especially against a Kilmarnock side, and I think that you just, and when it's happened a fair bit, you don't need to go out panicking and worrying about it, right? That counterproductive. But I think you can say, right, lads, see the first 10 minutes, first time they got out of the park, right? Absolutely concentrate. Everybody in their positions. Let's make sure that we're dealing with this. But, you know, as you say, it's a freak goal, but it's a freak goal that happens, or freak too goals often. Happen too often, yeah. And as I say, I a listener kind of pulled me up and said, look, goals happen. I said, yes, that's true. I don't expect Rangers to go the whole season without conceding a goal. But equally, there are certain types of goals, boilets off a beauty or great piece of skill or whatever. But that's a couple of goals that we've conceded that are just high swings into the box. Mm-hmm. You know, just absolute meat and potatoes balls into the box that we aren't dealing with. And that's where the frustration comes from. But Rangers did get going eventually, and it was hard to get going because the opening 20 minutes was the most VAR-scarred game I can recall seeing. And I watch a fair bit of football with VAR. But I did think there must be the four in the opening 20 minutes. And, you know, Derek McInnes was complaining about where 8 minutes came from. Well, there were four VAR checks, mate, plus mm-hmm. your time wasting. So I don't think 8 minutes was outrageous. I thought it might even be 10 before it. But on the VAR checks, the first one, the Kilmarnock, the Kilmarnock handball in the opening minutes. And the manager made the point, and I think it's a fair point, that how often do you see somebody sent to the monitor and stick with their decision? It doesn't really happen. But then having been at the ground and then watched it back, he shouldn't have been sent to the monitor, Andy. That's never a penalty in a billion years.
No, no chance.
And well done, by the way, to the ref. I thought it was a poor game. I'm not going to sit here and say, but you know, he should have stuck with that decision.
Aye. I mean, on the referee, before I get to the penalty, I was cracking up with him yesterday at the game, but I think that was mere frustration because I've watched the full game back and I'm like, well, actually, it didn't get that much wrong. But the... That instance there is, I think the whoever's in the VAR, was it Kirkland, who I don't actually know is a referee, but Kirkland was in the VAR room, and I really do not know what he's thinking there, because I mean, if you read the rules of the game, which too many are nay, including the likes of Michael Stewart, and they create narratives, and it's completely wrong, but it's got to be deliberate, and the boy's got to be making their body unnaturally bigger, but I don't think that was on that.
That's the deliberate part, making your body bigger, not like you have to decide I'm going to handball it, but it's the making your body bigger, natural position.
And he did get an advantage yesterday because the ball kind of never moved past his arm, but they were that close together and his arm's by his side. I don't know what he's meant to do other than put his arms behind his back, which is, it's just a ridiculous decision to bring it to VAR and put the guy in a position. To be honest, I felt post yesterday and watching it again, I'm like to Dickinson, fair play, because he stood by his guns. When the expectation now is that if they get to the monitor, then it's going to be a penalty. So, strange call him over, but fair play to him.
Yeah, well, we'll come to one later, though, in fact, we'll come to it now, and that is Rangers' penalty and the red card. Now, look, there's no doubt that the red card did change the game, right? I don't want to sit here and try and pull the wool over anybody's eyes in that. It helped a great deal because it left Kilmarnock one goal up or not, facing probably about 70, 80 minutes at Ibrox, and we should win the game from there. But this in real time is a penalty and a red card, and I was on my feet jumping. And like I say, I wasn't for the first one, but that one, I was like, it's a penalty and a red card. Boys handled it on the line. Unfortunate penalty and a red card, them's the rules. And the ref didn't give it. Now, the stat is that Rangers have had 16 penalties this season, 13 of which have come from VAR. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm sure that people who don't like to go, you got Hunter's a penalty. See, it's like, well, yes, so do Celtic, so do Man City, so do teams at top of leagues, because they tend to have a lot of the ball and they tend to be in the opposition box a hell of a lot more than a side in eighth or ninth, right? That's how it works. But 13 out of 16 needing to go to VAR. Mm-hmm. And then the referees all confirming them, by the way. That's the thing. Referees are then asked to go and look at it and then give the penalty. I don't see how you can look at that in any other way than referees are frightened to give Rangers penalties and therefore want, it was VAR, and they want to share the load of making the decision.
Yeah. I think there's something in that. I think that they're not using VAR the way it should be, which is to correct them if they make a mistake, so they can make the call and be rectified. And I thought yesterday that was it looked in real time to be a penalty. And the thing I would probably say in their defence, David, is I didn't see that many out and out, you know, jumping up and down for a penalty. The game kind of played on a wee bit. So I think that definitely influences, rightly or wrongly, the referee and what they do next. Whereas there's people jumping about, that it puts them in their split second, in their mind, that might be a penalty. So this is what VAR's here for. And this is why I have to laugh when, you know, the naysayers say, oh, we lost so much time during that game, or, you know, VAR's breaking up play, or it's taking away the joy of a goal and all this kind of stuff. It gets to the right decision. And here we are in the middle of a title fight, and that would have been a critical, well, it was a critical point of that match that would have been, well, I don't think he would have gave it, Davey, in real time if the VAR didn't exist, you know? No, but, well, it would have been, I mean, even if the safety net of VAR's not there in his mind, well, I don't think he'd use it.
The linesman had given offside, which it wasn't. So you're absolutely right. There is that about VAR, but I must admit, just from a fan point of view, I do...
You don't know it's a goal to the kickoff type
stuff. I don't enjoy that as much as I enjoyed a goal, right? Yeah. And just the leap up and the hug your mate. See, the leap up and you hug your mate, then the wait, is an unpleasant thing. And I get it, and you're right. I mean, if it hadn't been there yesterday, we wouldn't have had that particular decision in the game. Could have gone a lot differently. But I do miss it, if I'm honest. That split.
No, I get it. Because you get that doubt, and then you're sitting waiting for the kickoff again before, because that's when you know it's actually 100%, and it is pretty soul destroying when you lose that moment of ecstasy. But
I think that because people have said, well, you get when the ref does point this spot, you get that other, and I'm like, yeah, but it's not the same. It's not that instantaneous piece of joy.
So you're meaning the actual penalty. Feeling. You're meaning the actual penalty?
No, when when the ref points to goal, you know, whistles and points to the centre circle
after the
VAR check, right? Mm-hmm. And people say, well, you get the emotion then. And I'm like, it's not the same, though. But look, mm-hmm. I understand it, and the arguments about VAR will continue to rage. But we get the penalty. Tab misses it. 3 of his last 5. Martin made a point to me yesterday, and listeners on our Patreon will have heard. He's taken a lot of penalties over the years. And there comes a point where when you're playing the same teams four, sometimes 5, sometimes 6 times a season, the keepers are going to get used to you. And there's only so many places you can put it. 3 out of 5 is not great form. And I doubt very much it'll happen. But I would be, you know, if I was Dessers in that dressing room, I'd be going out to the manager and went, I'll hit these, give me them. You know, that. But then I would always want a free shot at goal for 12 yards because I played up front.
So we've been here before with Tavernier, and when he had a wee spate of missed penalties, I can't remember when, it was several years ago. And at that point, I was resolute that, no, he's the best penalty taker, and you keep letting him take penalties. And I'm going to put another spin on this, and it might sound bonkers. It's not so much about the kicking of the ball in it, it's about your head, and it's about mentality. And I think Tav has been there, done it numerous times in high-pressure games, and that is an experience that you cannot buy or put into somebody. And therefore, if we get a penalty next week at Parkhead, my first choice every day of the week is going to be Tavernier.
And it will be.
It will be, aye. But I'm meaning, I just think that Mark's got a point, but it's volume of penalties and average, law of averages and all this kind of stuff. He's still my best penalty taker. I mean, look at the one he took against Celtic. It was unstoppable. It's the hardest one to take as well, where you hit it high and it's into the corner, because those are the ones that carry risk, because you could balloon it and make yourself look stupid. I thought it was a good save for the goalie. I think he used
to his
advantage, because you can see the spring he gets on. I don't know why mere goalkeepers don't see it that way. You know, you actually can take a step forward and spring off your line, literally off your line, if you start behind your line. And I'm maybe burying my head in sand here, Davey, but I'm like, nah, there's nobody else in that starting 11 that I would prefer to have taken a penalty. And it's about mentality.
It was 100% a good save, but even so, you know, you're still expecting a player to
That's what you're expecting, aye. But
yeah, but so look, that could have derailed us. And for a wee bit it did, I thought. But then on the stroke of half time, we get a goal, and a very good goal it is too. Lindstrom with a great ball in, because it was early. It was first time. There was no touch. That allows a wee bit of confusion in the Kilmarnock area, where quite clearly they've got a lot of bodies behind the ball. And in steps Fabio Silva. Nice finish. They're no easy. Mm-hmm. Cushioned into the far corner. Lovely goal. And then he annoys the supporters with the yap, yap, yap celebration that players do. And there's two schools of thought on this. Firstly, if players get a bit of abuse, then it's all right for them to bite back. My take on it is you cannot win right? There's no point you doing that because fans only going to see it and go, oh, well, fair enough, we deserve that. That doesn't work like that. So all it does is antagonize people, and that's why you shouldn't do it. It's not a case of whether you feel you're justified doing it or not. It's the fact that you are going to annoy a large proportion of people who you want on your side. It's silly and it's self-defeating.
I'm in agreement. So Silva has been largely a disappointment since the game. Mm-hmm. I think every piece of criticism that's came his way has been justified. I think that Clement has shown faith in where it's no been entirely due. And to score a goal yesterday, you know, fantastic. I'm never, you know, you score for Rangers, you are my hero. However, see that kind of stuff, save it for when you're lifting the trophy, and then I'll maybe take it to your heart and self-reflect. Know when you've scored a goal, equalise against Kilmarnock. I know that top flight players have to have a certain mentality and an ego to make themselves kind of bulletproof. I understand that, and they have to be quite self-centred and no listening to all the nonsense, because it would crush you. Nah, lesser mortals, it would actually crush them. So I understand the sentiment for him, because he's obviously been feeling it more than we can see. But don't do it to us, because ultimately we want you to do well, mate. We want you to do what you're doing. We want you to be a success. We want you to be so good that we have to fork out millions of pounds to keep you.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
But you're not doing it. We had this with Windass, remember? And mm-hmm. It's the similar type players. They're enigmas that are expected to deliver and largely haven't. That was a problem. And therefore, I can see why they get the stick. And I can see other players in the team. I don't think, you know, Cantwell's flattened to deceive quite a bit over the course of the season. He's been too flitting. He's the same kind of player, same kind of expectation versus actual end product. I don't think he would do that kind of thing, because I think he knows what's expected of him. Whereas Silva obviously must be in denial if he thinks he's been playing well and delivering what's expected of him. He's been piss poor in so many aspects of his game. But listen, if he does that every week, I'm not caring.
I think that I go back to Alex McLeish, the day we won the league against Inverness, the last day, and he put the microphone on the pitch after it, and he said, you know, he was giving his thank yous and all the rest of it, and he said, you know, we've had some bad days, and then he went to the crowd, and you've had some bad days as well, and the crowd laughed, because he was waving a bit of silver at us, and he was right, and that's the time to do it. Because you're in an unassailable position. You're standing there with the thing that says, I got this right. I delivered.
You're right. You're righteous. So therefore you are right.
That's it. You've got that. That's the moment you do it. You know, show us your medals, basically, because that shuts us up. Nothing we can say when you do that. But anyway, Andy and I are maybe old, you know, shouting at clouds.
Oh, but listen, we're that old, Dave. We can remember Cammy Fraser giving us the finger. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I hated that bastard for that.
Ah, yeah, that really stuck with a lot of Rangers fans.
It did stick, and it's why, you mention him now, and boys that remember him will go, ah, Prick gave us the Vickies.
Aye. You know, I was a Vickies, it wasn't anything, that's right. And it was after he scored a goal.
Aye,
that's what it was.
So it's not a new thing, you know. But I know we're difficult to play in front of, right? I know that we can be absolute perfectionists. Guys, I say that brilliantly. It's the only club in the world you can be 4-0 up with 20 minutes to go and they boo you if you don't play a forward pass. And, you know, he was tongue-in-cheek, but I know what he means. You'll get a few, oh, for fuck's sakes, because that's what we're like. But equally, that's what makes us a big club. That's why you want to come and play. That's why there's 50,000 in that stadium every week. So, just self-defeating. Even if you want to take it from, he's totally right and justified in his feelings. If you believe that, I still don't think you can argue with the fact that it doesn't help him. So it's a stupid and therefore pointless thing to do. But anyway, spent a wee bit too long on that for what it was. In the second half, and I did think that the team, and I like this, they responded, but they played with a calmness. Now, the 10 men helped, but you can go two ways with 10 men. You can go, oh, fuck, we better win this now, right? Mm-hmm. And shit yourselves. And we've seen that before. Of course, the best example of all time, St Mirren in the League Cup final when we went 39. You know, St Mirren shat themselves because they went from being, we want to win this, to, oh, everybody's expecting us to win this. So it can happen psychologically, and psychologically is the thing that we've been critical of the team for being this season. But I thought they came out with the right attitude of, no, we are going to dominate this game from here on in, and we're going to get the goals. And then when it came, a very unlikely scorer, but Ben Davis did really, really well. One of my complaints about Rangers is we don't follow in at both ends well enough. But he's ready, he's on his toes, he gets there. Gets a wee bit of luck, maybe balancing out their goal, I think, because the keeper, who hadn't done too well with the first shot, but he does well to get up and make the second save, but it hits off Ben Davis and goes in. What I will say is, this is surely a risk of when you do have 10 men in your box, because when I saw it back, initially I was like, keeper's got to do a lot better there. But when I saw it back, he doesn't see it, Andy, until like seconds before it arrives at him, because it's came through an absolute forest of players. And then that is why I like us shooting more in these circumstances, because yes, they can get a block on it and it'll happen a lot, but you only need one or two to get through.
Aye. And it was so your corners yesterday are worth talking about. First of all, 10 men, the last team in Scotland you want to play against 10 men is Kilmarnock, because they're hard enough.
Exactly.
And they're quite well suited to that kind of back to the ball stuff. But anyway, that the corners yesterday were intriguing, because what you had mostly was Cantwell showing for it, not quite short, but shortish. And we used that option quite a bit. And I'm presuming this is a Clement thing, but week to week, game to game, we change about what we do. Sometimes we're in swinging, sometimes we're out swinging, sometimes we're doing this kind of adjustment where we do the short corner. And I didn't think the short corners were working yesterday. And this one that the goal came for was the riskiest of all, because what you're asking Lundstrom today, well, first of all, you're asking Tavernier to clip a perfect ball to Lundstrom at the edge of the box. You're asking Lundstrom to control that sufficiently with folk bearing down on them and getting a shot away. I think that's fairly high risk, right, in terms of wasting it. And I thought Lundstrom did really, really well yesterday get that under control and get the shot away. And as you say, everybody's alive and centre-halves are in the box for corners, obviously. And I thought Davis done really, really well. And I know there's three games to go, but if you want to have any chance of winning anything, you've got to have, what's the word, variation. You've got to have out-the-box thinking, and that was out-the-box thinking. And you know, a bravery in that moment when it's still one each to try something different that might not come off. So credit to Tavernier, Lundstrom and Clement, I suppose, for if that was one, that was after the training drills. Probably delighted for Davis. Right? I think Davis, I'm not saying he's the answer, right? That's not what I'm saying, but I think we could be utilising him more. We've spoke about this privately, about, you know, if we've got a left back problem, we want Sterling used to his strengths in the middle of the park or further up the park. You try to tell me he couldn't be doing a wee job on the left-hand side of the back four. I'm pretty sure he could. And there was something else happened yesterday when he came on, which was that I thought the balance of the team just naturally was better, because you've got Suter on his right side and you've got Davis, obviously, left-sided. And it sounds like a wee stupid thing, but when your possession of the ball is the main thing yesterday against 10 men, it makes a difference. It definitely made a difference when you're getting the ball moving faster. So the breakthrough, when, what time was that one, Dave? About 60 minutes, 62 yeah. minutes or something. So you're veering into territory once it gets to 70 minutes that your light's shut, and then Kamarnock and the Masters are running doing time. So it came at the right time, but the patience was key. And a wee word for Lundstrom, right? I like Lundstrom. I am a fan of John Lundstrom, and I think if you want to put a name to Clermont's impact in the club, it's John Lundstrom, because he's been to Rangers since Clermont came with McGregor as the Celtic. He's absolutely fundamental to the way we play, almost sometimes too much. But I thought yesterday he controlled the game for us and kept that patience. He's always available for everybody. He keeps the ball moving. He's all over the park. And I think there's a wee bit of, I don't know, a wee bit of familiarity breeds contempt, a wee bit of what you were talking about earlier on about, you know, just getting fed up with players because nothing's happened. You know, he's won one bit of trophy, one bit of silverware since the game. But I thought he was instrumental in keeping this ticking over until we got the breakthrough, and obviously then we go in and secure it. And I think, looking to next season, we're going to have to replace a fulcrum midfielder, which is easier said than done.
Yeah, but my problem with Lundstrom isn't games like this. It's games against Celtic or in Europe where I just do not think he's got the mobility.
No, and you know what, David? You've probably got a point. That's probably why he's at Rangers.
I just think as well that for a club...
The type of player he is.
If Lundstrom signs a new contract, it won't be on squad player wages, right?
Yep.
So if you sign him again, he has to be integral to the side because of the investment that you're putting into him.
Yep.
And for me, if you're serious about this trading model and it's not just words that get trotted out at AGMs, then you have to go, do we give this 30-year-old a new contract, a new three-year deal on very decent money for us? Or do we go, look, realistically, you're not going to get any better. If anything through your contract, you're likely to get a bit worse. So we're going to go in and we're going to try and get somebody in who's a bit younger, who has a resale value, who can improve. I just think if you're serious about it, these are the type of kind of, if you like, more difficult decisions that you've got to take that Rangers just fundamentally have shied away from for the past 5 years.
No, I agree with you. I mean, if he goes, then I'm not exactly going to be sobbing into my Cocoa Pops in the morning. It's no that. It's just that I think if we want a midfielder that does a Barry Ferguson type role and controls the game, controls the tempo, helps his teammates in terms of being a linchpin, they're no easy to come by at the quality we need and they cost a few bob. So, and I think also we're seeing it for day one. Clermont has identified him as a central figure as to how he wants to play. And I just thought yesterday, it was my man in the match until he went off. And I don't think I'd been quite isolated if I stood up and said, oh, by the way, Lundstrom was my man in the match. Because I think a lot of folk have lost patience for him. And anyway, is that enough of the Lundstrom fan club for you? Wait till you see the comments now, David.
I think most people agree that he's in games like this particularly, he's absolutely fine and can be important, and he had a good game yesterday. I don't think that's controversial. I just think long term, something we don't think about enough, I think, as a club, that we need to be looking at, right, thank you, on you go, kind of thing. And also, you know, from what the manager says about there being too big a distance between what he wants and what we are prepared to pay, I think there is a realisation at Rangers that we can't be sticking that.
And that's how it's got to be.
Is how it's got to be. And also, though, I'll be fair, I don't want to be that guy. If he's being offered, let's just say, I don't know this, this is just me taking round figures, guys, but if he's been offered 20 grand a week at Rangers and somebody's willing to pay him 40 grand a week at 31 years old, he has to take the bigger deal. Of course you do. You owe it to your family.
It's his last big deal.
You absolutely have to do that. So I would bear him absolutely no ill will whatsoever if he was to go for that, because you need to do that. But is he worth that sort of money to us? No. If you're a club with a much bigger budget, 100%. But if you're us, no. Then came a bit of real quality, Andy, and this was worth the admission money alone, as the old cliche went. Tom Lawrence, running out of midfield, gets the ball, touches it past the Kilmarnock defender, touches it round again past another one with a lovely kind of 1-2 with himself, and then just an absolute corker. Top corner, pace, dip, swerve, a beauty. I mean, really was an extraordinarily good goal.
Aye, aesthetically beautiful. If I was asking you, Davey, who's your best number 10, who would you say?
I'd still say Cantwell, and here's why. And this has happened to us quite a lot over the years, if you could put these two players' characteristics together, you would have a hell of a player. Tom Lawrence, I think, has more skill and end product. Cantwell has more mobility. I just think Lawrence's legs either have gone or haven't been the same since his injury, because there's been games that he's played where he's just miles off the pace. I think with Tom Lawrence, I think you put Cantwell on for 60, 70 minutes. Yeah. And then when Lawrence comes on, when teams are tired and then the legs don't become such an issue, he can do things like that. And there are players who make good subs.
Yeah, I think it's Kieran Dial, no, I'm only joking. I do agree with you, because what we saw yesterday is what we've been waiting for, what we've been missing from Tom Lawrence through the whole hellish period where he's either been unfit or half fit. Because what he can do that differentiates him for the rest of the squad is he's pretty lethal shooting for distance, and he's got that splayed feet kick, you know, he can hit a ball inside.
That was the guy we
thought
we were getting, wasn't it? Doing things like that, yeah.
And it really, really hurts teams, whereas Cantwell's working so, so hard. He's coming way deep, he's popping up all over the shop, he's putting his cell about, but you're just getting to the edge of the penalty box or in the penalty box, and he's no killing teams, and it's a problem for me just now, but he is still overall the best player. And I agree exactly with your point about 60, 70 minutes out of him and then getting Lawrence on. But listen, that goal yesterday was so important in terms of it kills the game completely, because even 2-1 up with 10 men, against 10 men, I'd have been nervous. You'd have been nervous because we've seen the movie too many times before.
Yes.
And you've got a set piece specialist team you're up against, and all it takes is for one corner, one shitty free kick in the last third, and you're sitting there biting your nails. So, but what a goal it was, because what makes it so spectacularly beautiful was the initial wee touch round Mayo, just to keep it out of him, and then the sending them off for their dinner to the right hand, the right back position, and then it just opens up for him, and what a finish. It was absolutely spectacular.
Yeah, it was a really super goal. I thoroughly enjoyed it. And then still time for a fourth, and I think the fourth was the one that made the crowd go, right, okay, good day at the office. You know, I think that was the difference. I think four was a kind of, when they went out to 10 men, was sort of the level that you would settle for. And again, you know, I mean, it'd be nice to win 6-7 and put a dent in the goal difference, but the problem with that is it's still Kilmarnock, and as you said, as the manager said, actually, it doesn't make a hell of a lot of difference to them to lose a man in that. Okay, they're not going to attack so much. So yes, you're maybe unlikely to concede more, but in terms of scoring, they're still going to just have their exact same shape. And you know, they drop deep. They don't take patience. That's our heaviest defeat of the season. In fact, we're the only team to beat them since the start of December, to show you how well drilled they are. But we did get that fourth. And again, good play by John Souter. And I do want to give him a bit of credit here, because how many times you see a player in that get under the header and head it over the bar? It happens constantly where they go and they take it too early. He lets it come down onto his head and nods it down. You should always nod the ball down. Right, that's when you get goals, and he's rewarded. But it's a much more difficult finish than it looks.
He has to get up for it. It comes with Lawrence again. Lawrence checks and creates the space for himself to leather a shot at the goalie. And you know, if we learned anything yesterday, because we had a lot of shots yesterday. When I was watching it back on the telly, they commented on the number of shots we had, and it was like the fourth highest in the season for us.
I'm glad to see it. You get things from it. You know,
imagine things happen. Jesus Christ!
This is the thing as a fan, right? I know we don't have the coaching badges, and I know that, you know, we speak about cliches and stuff, and I get all that, and I understand why professionals, you know more about the game. Neither you or me are the type to sit and say I know more about football than a professional, because we don't, right? We're honest in that regard. But you will have a tough time convincing us as guys who just watch football that shooting doesn't increase your chances of scoring goals. Not 40 yards when, you know, there's nobody near you and 100 players in front of you, but when you're in the edge of the box, surely you've got to be increasing your chances rather than just this endless tippy-tappy stuff.
And we've got a couple of players. Dio Mandy seems to have a thought to have a shoot whenever he can. Lundstrom can do it when he wants. And then when Lawrence is on the park, he has... This is something I'd level at Cantwell. He's not really a shooter. He's done it. He's done it at Easter Road to great effect, but we don't see enough of him having a pop is the way I would call it. And another one who should be doing much better in this regard is Silva when he cuts in, because as a inverted quotes striker, his shooting isn't very good, you know. So we need to do more of this. And the other thing I like to see happening is getting opposition defenders facing their own goal. So it happened with that boy you're talking about for the first goal, with Lundstrom. Finlay or whoever it was, is facing his own goal. You'll then get a chance to run on their back, and Silva does it. When you get a shot, they're having to turn, and if there's a rebound, they're facing their own goals. Anything can happen there. They're not facing the ball, they're not facing the play. So we need a bit of chaos. We can't just play beautiful football and whip a ball in, and I'd far rather see shots than crosses, to be quite fucking blunt with you, Davey.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. The other thing, I think the main thing, talking point from yesterday, certainly when I was coming out of the game and speaking to people, was Dessers, who had one of his fiddliest non-shooty performances. I don't really know how else to say it. Just fucking shoot. You know, I mean, I get that you want to make absolutely certain, but I counted four opportunities when I watched the game back where he can get a shot off and he chooses not to. You can understand why people get frustrated with it.
Aye. He's doing a job just now for him. I'm using that kind of phraseology because he's doing a job for us. And what I will say for him is that happy knack of being in the right place at the right time, he has it. The bit that's missing is what happens next, right? And 9 times out of 10, as you say, he wants to create the greatest or maximise the percentage chances of getting the ball in the net instead of just shooting. You know, Marco Negri, back to goal, all he had in his mind was, how am I going to get this shot and target? And invariably something happened. Whereas he's the opposite. He gets, you know, a chance and he's wanting to make sure that basically the whole net's in front of him before he places it or passes it in the net. He needs to... To the last three games, and I don't know if it's, I think it's just something that's in them. He needs to start being instinctive and just shooting whenever he gets a chance. He could have had 2 or 3 yesterday, absolutely. But more than that, he's sometimes laying balls off when he shouldn't be, and then it's a shitly off. But he's working hard. We can't argue with 20 goals. I thought that if something happens this season, looking back, I think the Hibs goal before half time that he scored, the bullet header, will be a significant factor, because just like the Silva goal yesterday, it comes at a time where if you don't go in at half time, you're totally deflated and you're up against it because you've got a team that's coming out galvanised, given that they've went in at half time with the right result for them. So do you know what, David, this season has been absolutely bonkers, and if Cyril Dessers is the most bonkers thing where he ends up scoring more than 20 goals for us and we win things, so be it. I don't think he's answered long term. I don't think MD says that, because you watch it and you think yourself, David, what could we be doing here if we had a fully proficient striker? He can't really hold the ball. He's got this, you said fiddly. That's a good adjective to describe him, because he can't hold men off, but it kind of causes him problems by being stone in front of him, being a wee bit of a niggle. He makes things happen in a very unorthodox way.
It's a nuisance.
A nuisance, aye. But I just think, Jesus, but you're just better
having a dig. I just like my strikers a lot. No, I don't care. I'm getting a show off.
Aye, 100%.
That's what I like in a forward. I'm just like, sorry, lads. You know, and that will occasionally mean that I'm screaming at them for being greedy. I get that, right? When they should lay off a pass, but then they're the guys that end up with loads of goals. Salah, it's been a knock on him his whole time at Liverpool. His teammate Mane used to go nuts at him, but the guy's got 200 odd goals for Liverpool. There's a fucking reason for it.
Did you see Clement? I think it was the third time he did it in the box. I think it was the most obvious one. And Clement went off his nut. But Dessers went back at him, and to the point where Clement's right, all right, calm down. I thought it was interesting that he bit back. So
I didn't see that.
He's obviously got something about him. I'm talking about mentality earlier on with Tavernier and penalties. And for Dessers, the one thing he kind of levelled this year is not having mental resilience, because, Jesus, we've all been scathing of him at points, haven't we? So he's still there and still taking the pot shots and still contributing. It's something. It's not everything, but it's something.
Well, that leaves us in a position, Andy, we win our next game 3-0, we're top of the league. Simples.
Easy peasy. The we're up against it, right? But Andy, you're like, who are you, Gandhi? But you've got to believe, right?
Kravitz or Cher. Actually, Cher's probably more apt for you, yeah.
Oh, I like Lenny Kravitz.
Do you like Cher?
Before she turned 80, aye. She was
bad. When I hit Gypsies, Tramps and Thieves, feels that. No reason.
I'm trying to think of another one, but I can't, and probably get
no, that's me, pretty much. That's my share. Shoot, song.
Shoot, song. That's Dessers. Shoot, song. Fucking Gypsies, shoot, song.
Tramp and Thieves, Believe, and that one with Meatloaf. So there you go. That's my entire. Oh, and I got you, babe, obviously. That's my entire knowledge.
Heart of Stone's actually on my playlist, you know. Do you know that? And I let it play. That's
which one?
Heart of Stone.
Oh, I don't know that one.
How the hell do we get here? But so you've got to believe, and if there's a Rangers player in that dressing room that isn't visualising a rapidly emptying Parkhead and booze and, you know, people jumping off the tap tier, then maybe shouldn't be Rangers, because they've got to start thinking in these terms that we can go there and we can do something and we can hurt them, because it's long overdue. A bloody nose for them and their support and their manager would be absolutely extra delightful. And I think if something was to happen next week, then all bets are off, because I'd like to see how they react to it. I still don't think at heart of hearts, David, we're going to do this, right? But you've got to have at least that wee butterflies in your stomach saying, do you know what? There's a chance here. We've got to follow it through.
This could happen. Yeah, I mean, for me, the game Parkhead, and this is a very simple plan and it's a lot easier said than done, but I'd be tempted to go Lundstrom, Sterling and put Diamande, the wee bit fella forward.
Number 10.
The reason being that we know they're going to come out wild in the first 20 minutes and go at us. And for me, it's a case of saying to the boys, don't be frightened, don't be sitting back, be brave on the ball, work the ball out there because there'll be space. But I do think it's a case of saying, you know, if you get to half-time at worst level, then they will start to panic a wee bit more so. But if it's the usual thing and we can see the shite early goal, then we know that we'll be right bang up against it.
No, I think some radical's required, Davey, I've got to be honest. And what worries me about Cantwell at number 10 was that he's got to be on it, absolutely. But I think he was, the last time at Parkhead, he was hell of a isolated. He was having to do too much. There was too much pirouetting to create his own space. There was nobody close by. There was no 1-2 opportunities. He was having to move with the ball himself, as in literally dribble with the ball. And that's not a game plan. And what I like about Diamande is that he's good in tight spaces. He can protect the ball and you can progress up the park when you've got players that can do that. You know, you can move up the park without dribbling if you've got players that can protect the ball and 1-2 up the park. And much like you, I think Sterling in the middle of park for me is fundamental, really, to depending on what personnel we sign next year, obviously, but it's fundamental to how we progress next year, because I just think he adds so much steel and protection to our centre halves that we just benefit so much from it. And at Parkhead, that's more than required, because we want to make sure that if they're on the break, that we don't get killed, because we know that can happen. So I don't know. I'm talking about Silver earlier on. The one thing that Silver can do with effect is move the ball at pace up the park, and we're going to need ball carriers. I'm a fan of McCausland. I thought he was very, very bright when he came on against Kilmarnock and made a real impact. And although it didn't go to plan from the Parkhead the last time, again, he can move with the ball, he can cut inside, and when we get those opportunities, we're going to have players that can do it. And I'd far rather see him out on the right than Sterling. I think Sterling's wasted out there. He'll have Yilmaz back, and you know, who knows if Balogun will make it, and even if he does, whether Davis gets a nod just to give us that proper balance between him and Suter.
Yeah, I think Yilmaz being back would be, even in the short time he was on yesterday, because he'll go into midfield, add an extra body in a way that Barisic won't, right? He's a kind of more modern fullback that will do that, you know, inverted, thing, mm-hmm. and he would come inside and it did create a bit more space. So anyway, Cammy will be here later in the week's Folk with Heart and Hand Extra, and he'll preview the game in a lot more detail then. If you want all the build up to it, then go to patreon.com/heartandhand. I'd just like to thank our producers, Mike Lee and Paul Myers. And Andy, thank you. I thoroughly enjoyed that chat, my friend.
Thank you very much. I'm away to look up my share playlist and get a few tunes on, get ready for the game next week.
You should, I believe. I can name three, right? Believe by Cher, Believe by Lenny Kravitz, and I Believe by Tim Booth. There you go. There's three to kick you off.
And I Believe I Can Fly by, I'm not even going to name him.
No, he's, I don't think we, yeah.
A Kelly.
Aye, I don't think we go there anyway. Anyway, right, thanks for listening, folks. We'll be back next week. Until then, mon the Rangers. Take care, everybody. Bye-bye.
Podcast Network.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business?
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.